Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
We've been on this powerful journey talking about worship, the why behind the worship. Why we do this. And so we're wrapping that up today. We talked about how worship is how we honor God. It's what gives us access to the things of heaven. We've talked about how worshiping God in spirit and truth, what that looks like. And we've talked about how worship changes our perspective and our outcome. If you missed any part of the series, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast. But today we're going to kind of bring all that together. Mm-hmm. And I have Pastor Corinne up on the stage with me today. Give her a big hand. What has stood out the most to you about this whole series on worship?
What stood out to me is just seeing everyone really try to digest the information. And it's not just information, but digest what's been taught and try to apply it. And seeing it in action week to week has been such a blessing. We were talking about it yesterday with our leaders, and even this morning it was mentioned just how beautiful it is, even us up here getting to see everyone collectively make an effort to press further in worship and have a greater understanding, because we know it's not just singing songs. There's so much more to it than that. So just the beautiful takeaway of application, everybody trying to apply what's been given here, has been a beautiful thing to witness.
Absolutely. Worship, and this is kind of what is present to me today, is that worship elevates us. Wherever we are, whatever's going on in our lives, worship causes our circumstances to improve. In Psalm 34:3, David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So the thought is this: whatever you magnify, everything else shrinks by comparison, mm-hmm. right? That includes your problems, your stress, your anxiety. So when I'm magnifying God, I am indirectly deprioritizing other things. Other things are becoming small. Other challenges are becoming small. So the more we magnify God, the smaller everything else becomes in our life. The Bible talks about how every good and perfect thing comes from God. So when we are magnifying God and we're magnifying all the things that come from God, everything else becomes a lesser priority. So it isn't necessarily about being overly religious, but understanding every good and perfect thing, every good thing is connected to God. So I'm going to magnify God. I'm going to magnify the good things that come from God, and I'm going to focus less on all the other things. Have you ever had a moment when you, when it was like God was just elevated in your thoughts in a season of your life, and other things became smaller?
Absolutely. So, a good example of this is actually about a year ago. God showed me a vision, and it had to do with worship. Interestingly enough, but I saw this beautiful big ship, huge. And then I could see the bottom of it. I could see the rudder, and I saw the rudder change. And then I saw the whole ship turn directions. And then I heard the Lord say, "I'm shifting the direction of worship in this house." And it was such a beautiful picture painted before me. It left an impression. And from then on, I'm like, "God, you know, what do we need to do? Like, how can we be obedient to what you've shown us so that we can make sure to do it?" And so even from the beginning of the year, God began to show us, like, our worship is unshakable. We have to teach about worship. We have to help people understand there's a greater revelation about worship. It's not just something that stays static. You grow in it over time. And so it became a huge focus even for our internal structure with our worship team. And it's been something that we've been really pursuing. And it was a prayer of ours that we said, "God, help elevate our revelation of what worship is so that we can grow as a people together."
I think why worship elevates our thinking is because it changes our vantage point from which we see our lives and we see different things. I think about when you fly in an airplane, you go higher. The higher you go, the more things look differently. What looked one way on the ground suddenly or completely has changed when you have that bird's eye view. breaking through the clouds, and the perspective shifts again. Or even if you talk to astronauts and see when they break through the atmosphere of Earth, they're seeing an entirely different vantage point. And so when we worship, it elevates the way we see things, the way we're thinking about life. And so we're looking at our problems a different way. We're looking at our challenges a different way. We're looking at opportunities a different way. And I think this is so powerful, because worship is changing us, changing the way that we see things and the way we are looking at life.
Worship is spending time in God's presence and elevating Him. And the more that we get in proximity to Him, we get more clarity. There have been times, I know personally, on a personal level, I have come into worship and I've found hope, I have found peace, I've found healing. And this is why a lot of times if you hear me, I'll say, God, thank you for your joy, thank you for your peace, thank you for all the things that come with being in your presence. Because it is a byproduct of getting into His presence. When we get in His presence, it's just the blessing is there. And so it does elevate our thinking. It elevates where we are spiritually to be able to see things by the Spirit and catch things that we may otherwise, just doing what we daily do or being too busy to notice, we wouldn't hear.
Yeah. And it changes so much. Worship also elevates the way that we see people. And so I find that is going to cause us to say, oh, this person belongs in my life. You can also contrarily say, this person no longer belongs in my life. Worship brings clarity. When we're in God's presence and we're worshiping, it brings clarity to relationships that we have. There's some relationships we need to let go of. It's become toxic. Sometimes we have people in our life, they've decided to go this way, and we've decided to go this way. And then there's other times God's like, I really want to join some people to you. I want to bring some people into your life. So as we worship, God gives clarity about relationships. And I think that's one of the greatest things that can happen in worship is God gives us clarity. And so we realize God wants to reveal things to us. He wants to reveal more about our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. God shows us in His presence where people belong in our lives.
I think the more you spend time with Him as well, the more discernment that you get. You become more discerning. And you're able to discern when someone is right there with you or if someone's going in a different direction. And I thank God for that, because He saves us sometimes when we listen and we can see and discern, oh, this person's not meant to walk with me. And sometimes it's a kingdom alliance where He brings you together with somebody and you realize, man, this person is of like spirit. Because you can be equally yoked. It's some people only apply that to marriages, but it goes beyond that. And so it's important that we ask God for that discernment. We seek Him, and in our worship, we get this discernment that helps us to be able to find like-spirited people.
Absolutely. David saw worship as a thing that causes us to ascend, to go higher. In Psalm 24, 3-6, he's talking about who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in His holy place. And this question mattered deeply to David, and it should matter to us. How do we ascend? How do we go higher? How do we, and not just how do we go higher, but how do we remain in God's presence? And worship doesn't just elevate us, it keeps us there. That's the powerful thing about worship is we don't have to stop. We don't have to cut that off. Even when we leave here on Sunday, we don't have to stop this worship posture towards God. Yeah. So worship can elevate us, right? Give us that different vantage point, give us that communion with God, but it can also sustain us there in that face-to-face relationship with God. So worship allows us to ascend and to remain.
I really like the scripture about, this right here, who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in His holy place. If you finish it out, it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. It's important to know, I wrote this down, that going up the mountain requires traveling light, right? There's a lot of stuff on ground level that doesn't come up with you. You leave that there. And I think sometimes we try to travel up with all this stuff. And when you go up the mountain, it's meant for you to just be you, you and the Lord. And there's such a beautiful thing about that solitude of just you and him. That's those intimate moments that you can see where things, powerful things have happened. Whenever you look at scripture, people that have gone up the mountain, they experience God in a different way. And so it requires traveling light. You don't want to be weighed down with what's at ground level. You leave that there, and then you seek, like, just to be clean before the Lord. And I think when we pursue him on that level, like, we don't try to carry stuff, and we just say, God, I'm going to come up here because I want to spend time with you. That's a discipline over time, because it's not natural sometimes for us to want to make all this space to do that, but it's so vital for our faith walk and our livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scripture is full of these moments that give us this thought and this understanding that there's this elevation that happens in worship. God wants to elevate us. Scripture shows us this over and over. Like Abraham, God tells him, go up the mountain and worship in Genesis 22. Or God tells Moses, God calls him up the mountain, up Mount Sinai, in Exodus 19, or Elijah goes up the mountain and then calls fire down from heaven in 1 Kings 18. Jesus was always going up the mountain to step away and pray. And so there's this powerful thing that worship does where it takes us higher. Yeah. It causes us to elevate. And so I want you to really give thought to this week. What type of vantage point does God want to give you as you develop this worship relationship with him? As you're worshiping throughout the week, what different things does God want you to see? What perspective does God want to give you?
Yes. So I think finding that place of exclusivity, that would be the challenge. Make space this week to have that exclusive, I'm going up the mountain moment. And it takes intentionality, because we all have schedules, right? And some of us are busier than others, but to make that space and say, God, I'm going to go up the mountain and I want what you have for me. I want to experience your presence in a new and a fresh way. And he will meet you there. He says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we seek him, we find him. His word says it. So we just have to take action.
And you know what's really amazing about worship is building up to something, yeah, right? This worship experience, if you really lean into it, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow over and over again. So worship is about going higher and going higher, experiencing more and more of God and more of heaven. And ultimately, as we worship and we go on this journey of more and more, we get to the place where this experience grows until we're no longer just having heavenly experiences. We're forever in God's presence in heaven. So worship is this build-up, like we're building up. So that's why it's such an important revelation to us, is that this is the practice for what we do in eternity. This is the practice of the build-up of what our relationship is. So as we're building to this climatic moment of an eternal existence of worship with him, where we're permanently sustained in God's presence. So who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Worshipers. Not perfect people, but people that are repentant, who seek God. Yes. You know? And I want to make sure that we see that, because sometimes we disqualify ourselves to worship. We disqualify ourselves to be used by God. But here's what God is looking for. God is looking for these type of people to ascend, people that worship. Not perfect, yeah, but we've repented, we've cleaned up our hands, and we're seeking after God. So you don't have to be perfect to be a worshiper, but you do have to be repentant. You have to say, God, help me. I'm a mess in this area. God, I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. And continue to press in and continue to seek him. That was David's secret. That can be our secret as well.
I think that's one of the reasons that I love the demonstration of David's life, because he had some highs and he had some real lows, and he wrote about them all. And in all of it, he kept saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. And I think that's so encouraging to us as the body of Christ to see the people that went before us went through things as well. And I mean, he was a warrior. He saw war firsthand. He went through the death of his child. I mean, guilt after doing things that he repented of. He went through a lot of things that are relatable to us. But then he still turned around and said, I'm going to bless the Lord. And I think, man, that is so powerful. So he was flawed, but he owned it, and then he would try harder. What an example to us, right? So I think that's something that we can really take home with us and say, you know what, we're not perfect, but we can continue to try to pursue his presence in a better way, and he will meet us there.
That's so great that we don't have to fix ourselves on our own.
Right.
If we put in the effort and we also turn to God in repentance, he partners with us in that transformation journey. And really, worship is about having a humble position before God, you know? And so when we humble ourselves in worship, God's response is to elevate us, right? James said it like this: humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. That's James 4:10. Peter said it like this: humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he will exalt you in due time, 1 Peter 5:6. So worship is going to elevate us as we have a humble posture of worship. We're going to see making that space in our life, having that humility in our life to worship like this causes elevation. When we try to elevate ourselves, it always fails. But when we humble ourselves through worship, God promises to elevate us.
I love that. And I'm a huge advocate of making God's name the biggest. I'm going to say something that may be unpopular, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm a huge advocate for making God's name the biggest. I don't like worship songs that focus on my feelings or the struggle that I'm going through. And there's a lot of stuff out there that plays to that. And yes, it does talk about, you know, oh, God's going to get me through. But the perspective of how you enter into worship is very important. Because if you enter in as a thought, thinking as a victim, it's going to affect what you get. If you enter in thinking, God, I'm so grateful that you are so mighty and awesome and you are holy, and who can compare to you? You see, now you start to make him bigger. And in you making him bigger, in you humbling yourself and not focusing on what's going on with me so much, he begins to heal. He is the restorer of our soul. When we make his name big, everything else has to change. When I speak the name of Jesus, things change. When I speak his scripture, things change. And so those are the things that we hold steady to. When we enter into this level of worship of, I'm going to exalt the name. That's why I think this song has been so present with us, because that's an elevation song. Like, we're elevating what God is doing. We're elevating who God is. And you can just sense the atmosphere change. That's what brings forth true transformation. So to this scripture again, that when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he exalts us in due time. The byproduct of us being in his presence and exalting his name is the reward of his presence, is the reward of his blessing and the benefits that come from being with him.
Yeah, I see it like this, like when you have something that there's pressure building up, it's like worship builds pressure for positive momentum in your life. And so when I humble myself, when I'm worshiping under the mighty hand of God, he's going to, when that season comes and God releases, it's just going to be, you're going to explode into the place, into the blessing that God has for you. So that's what's so powerful here. There's many great things God wants to do in our lives if we'll assume a humble posture of worship before him and let him elevate us. Worship elevates our thinking. Worship elevates our relationships. Worship elevates our very lives. So worship allows us to ascend into God's presence and to remain there. Every mountaintop moment in Scripture points to the same truth. God is calling us higher through worship. Humility is the posture that invites God's elevation. My prayer is that God would elevate us as we worship him. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together today. God, I thank you, Lord, for this journey that you've had us on, talking about the revelation behind worship, or the why behind worship. Why do we do this? Why do we sing? Why do we lift our hands? Why do we dance? God, I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us greater understanding because you want us to worship in spirit and in truth. And God, the more that we understand about why we're doing what we're doing, God, it unlocks heaven. It unlocks your purpose in our lives. So God, thank you for the beauty of worship. Thank you for the opportunity and the honor to worship you, God. Thank you, God, that we would make space in our lives to be worshipers, true worshipers. That's what the Father's looking for. You're looking for true worshipers. So God, let us be those true worshipers. Let us take that journey of worship with you. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I feel like I've kind of drifted in my walk, but I want to reconnect with him today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. Amen. Amen. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really had that relationship with Jesus, but I want it. I've been around religious things, but I want to have a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. If you raise your hand for either one of those, I want to ask you to say this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this with us. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross because you loved me so much, and to forgive me of all of my mistakes and all of my sins. Jesus, I'm sorry for the times I've drifted, for the times I've sinned. I need you. I need your grace. Apply your perfect work on the cross to my life. Give me a fresh start today. I want to do things your way. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Help me do that. Help me follow your commands. Help me live a life that pleases you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.